Auckland.nz.
Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this session. And Senior Focus is brought to you by Grey Power, as you are aware. And in Auckland, we are going through a transition. We've opened a new office, which I've talked about on air before. And that office is in Blockhouse Bay, and I've raved about how wonderful that environment is. It's very senior friendly, and you see lots of people walking down the street greeting and smiling, and it's a very welcoming place. Now, as we've going through these transitions, one of the things that we've been involved with has been the revamp of the positive ageing strategy, and talking to our members and seniors in the community generally about how they see the next 10 to 15 years, what kind of support structures are needed to help seniors transition into older age. And it is one of the things that people aren't always prepared for very well. I mean, they're taught to save money for their old age, but nobody really says what sort of emotional upheavals people might go through. And a lot of people who have injuries or heart attacks or strokes or sudden changes where they have to cope with the death of a partner, these kinds of transitions actually are very demanding to go through, and they require people to sort out a lot of aspects of their life. Maybe things had chugged along for some time, relatively unchanged, and suddenly they have a whole lot of changes at once to cope with. So we're very interested in really what people need the most, what makes the biggest difference, and looking at the research, it's very clear that if you have a circle of friends nearby, if you're well connected in your community, if you have places you can go and just chill out, just go and have a chat with people, let off a bit of steam, just pick up something, an activity, a craft, a hobby, something that you can just do and switch off while you're doing it, that's really useful. And you can extend your range of friends that way. And often people report that their friends have moved or died off, or, you know, that they've actually experienced gaps in their connected circle. And so something comes along that's quite a major change, and those gaps are quite painful because they haven't got the resources that they need. So we've been looking at how we can best help people through these transitions. And as Grey Power used to have only 4 meetings a year, we're now holding 10 meetings a year. And they are on the first Friday of the month. And you may have heard this announcement before, but I am trying to stress to people this is quite a big change for us. And we are trying to reach people. And people might say, well, you know, Auckland Central's a big area and you've moved to an office in that Blockhouse Bay area, where are you holding your meetings? And we're holding the meetings in the Blockhouse Bay Community Centre when we can, or next door in the Senior Citizens Hall. We have a bit of flexibility and choice, and also we're working in with the community, so sometimes when there's a large event on, we move into the smaller hall for convenience to help them. That move, though, was partly preempted by the very high charges at the fixing centre. They've been steadily rising, and even with a 50% discount for a not-for-profit, we're still paying nearly 3 times what we're paying in Blockhouse Bay. So the move was a sort of intelligent restructuring of our finances. It was promoted also because we thought it's more convenient to have our storage at the office and just be able to move banners and signage and stuff down the road to the hall. It's so much easier than driving across town. And we would hope to have more people venturing into the space and meeting with us on the Friday afternoons at 1. Once a month, it's on the first Fridays, just to connect up with more people across Central Auckland, because it can be very valuable. I mean, often people say to me, well, what does Grey Power do anyway? I mean, what have you done? And I point to where Auckland Transport had removed bus stops from areas close to retirement villages. They didn't have any information about where those villages were or how many people were in them, so they had no idea. They were inconveniencing up to 2,000 seniors in a hit. And we were able to campaign to get the bus stop repositioned closer to where those seniors were, and cut down the amount of frustration and angst at trying to push a walker maybe 500 metres to a bus stop. Another example would be the Heart Ward in Waitakere was going to be closed, and all the different Grey Power associations across Auckland wrote into the district health board, the Waitakere District Health Board, and wrote to all the District Health Board members and pointed out that not only was that move detrimental to the patients themselves in terms of the speed of getting to treatment and their families being able to support them, but the ongoing travel costs, parking costs and so on at North Shore Hospital for those families would mean the patients would probably spend longer in hospital because their rehab and their recovery would be drawn out because they wouldn't have so much support from their families. So in practical terms, we wondered really how it was going to benefit a good healthcare delivery model. So the upshot of that was within 3 days of receipt of those letters, all talk of closure of the Heart Ward ceased. And so we do act as a deterrent force, and I think that's a very important role that we have. And we are the largest force of that type because we are bipartisan, we are apolitical, we're a very broad church. We wouldn't agree on everything, but there are enough of us to make a difference. And it's numbers that do count when you're talking about putting the pressure on. At the moment, the pressure is going on through our federation in their visits to Parliament, lobbying across the board with different MPs and different parties. The pressure is on to get an aged care commissioner. And I have talked about this before, but it's worth reiterating that an aged care commissioner would be resource to be able to take cases through the courts. So people who are abusing older people financially, psychologically, taking advantage of them, there would be a real deterrent there in the form of the commissioner having the power to subpoena witnesses, the funding to take the cases through the courts. And instead of families knowing that abuse is going on in the family, but certain family members not having the resources or the emotional fortitude to be able to take on the other family member or members in order to bring a case. But in this case, all they would need to do is report it, just one, as one reports crimes to Crime Stoppers, the 0800 number. One would simply report to the elder abuse number, and things would get underway. And I believe that this is really essential given the tidal wave of cases that we know of, and they're only the tip of the iceberg because a lot are not reported at all. So the need is very great, and the government, well, certainly Labor, said yes in the lead up to the election. They were very interested in the concept and they saw the need for it, and now it's a case of getting delivery on this. So that'll be a watch this space. In the meantime, we are coping with the fallout from the restructuring of the bus routes, and we have a lot of success stories coming in, but we also have some stories of frustrations. And so I was with a party from the, or group from the Puke Te Papa local board last week, meeting with Auckland Transport in Commodore Drive about the situation with the 191 service. And that was a bus that was promised from Lynfield to Blockhouse Bay, and it was promised actually years and years ago when the Blockhouse Bay people got a library, and the Lynfield people were told, you'll get a bus and your bus will take you to the library. But that bus never eventuated. And now with the rerouting and the consolidation of routes, we've got a more frequent service in different parts of Auckland Central. But when I looked at a map and I looked at all the different nooks and crannies on the fringes of Auckland Central, all the way around, there were loop buses, there was entry and exit by bus. But when it gets to Lynfield, the bus stops dead at the avenue, and that steep hill up Blockhouse Bay Road, Hillsborough Road, that is a small nightmare if you've got a wheelchair, because your battery won't often last to get you to the top. If you're trying to push a walker, it's with a wind, a headwind, it's pretty tough. And if you've got any sort of mobility problems at all, it's a good slog, and it's about almost a K to get up that hill, depending on, of course, where you start from. But it's not easy, and really, it just looks such a ridiculous thing when you look at a map, because it's a clear gap where there is no service and there is no real logical reason. There is a loop bus, the Avondale loop bus, that goes past, and that's a problem because that takes people through to Newlyn, but it doesn't, when it loops around, it takes an hour and a half to come back. So people who can get to Newlyn in under half an hour have to spend an hour and a half getting home. It's a pretty hopeless service. So that's another one that we've brought up with them, asking for a review. And even though we were told initially it was going to take a year, and we weren't to expect any changes for a year, I think there's been enough publicity in the Herald from different irate senior groups, and we've had our conversations with them, and I think there's enough energy out there and angst to bring about more change yet. So it's a case of watch the space. We don't do things in isolation, so sometimes our opportunities to make change come from who we collaborate with and how we do that. And in the social space, this coming September, we've got a number of events and happenings that will encourage people to connect, encourage people to be more socially active, and maybe make new friends. But certainly there are quite a few things coming up, so I'd like to announce these now. And one is the Suffrage Day, and I shouldn't say suffragette. The word is, that was used in the UK. The word here is suffragist, and I've been corrected on that. So I will use the correct term, suffragist. But there is a gathering in Aotea Square that's open to the public at 7 a.m. So that's the official celebration, if you like. I'll be going wearing my local board hat, but I will also be wearing a grey power tag as well. So I'll be at that in the morning, but there's going to be opportunities for members to do things during the day, so we'll be announcing that at our meeting on Friday. There will be, on the 29th of September, which is a Saturday, between 11 and 3 in the Mount Eden War Memorial Hall opposite Potters Park and Dominion Road there. Very good buses there. There will be a really exciting program of performances, dances, and very lively senior groups participating and collaborating together. So that's Roskill Together, Bhaktiya Samaj, and other groups. Grey Power will have a stall, and we will have people like Susan Jordan's senior dance group. We will have people from the Deco Retro Planet FM program, and Nancy and Philippa, who are members of our organisation, but they're also working in their own right making that program. They'll be there. We'll have people who are involved in bowls and croquet, and people who are wanting to link up to do trips and outings. So it'll be a very good occasion to come and have a yarn if you want, if you have an idea, something you want to see us do. We have access to a van these days, which is brand new and leased on a lotteries grant by Roskill Together. And that's available for hire at $80 a day plus fuel. And that $80 includes insurance. So it means that people can go out somewhere around the region, visit the botanical gardens and have lunch, or go out to Pihar or Bessels Beach, or down country, visit a museum, visit Pukekohe, for example, and see how it's changing. Whatever you decide on, all you really have to do is have 10 people willing to go and pay the $15-odd each, and that covers the whole thing. So, with a driver, of course, and the driver goes free. But we're thinking that often people can't get 10 people off their own bat, but doing it through the association, just putting names on a list, and within a month we reckon we could have an outing planned. So we're offering that as an opportunity, and we're promoting that through the newsletter and also through the stalls. So I guess the thing here that I want, the message I want to get out, is that we're trying to be active in supporting people in the best way we know, encouraging people to come out of the woodwork, take a risk, and come and join in, come and connect, come and find something new to add into your life. Because it's very easy to disengage and to drop out and let everything go past. But that's not a healthy way to be living, and it's not in your best interests, because if you have a sudden transition, a sudden change, as we can have with the sort of weather that we've got, with the impact of climate change, we can have sudden changes, which storms and so on, which really push us in terms of, are we well connected? Do we have enough support? Who are we going to call on? And having an emergency plan is really important. So that's something we'll be working on through our meetings. We'll be encouraging people to look ahead and see how other people have managed these challenges, what's been working for seniors well, what other organisations are doing. And we're not in isolation, and we're not there to be isolated. I don't think human beings were designed to live alone, but about 40% of adults do live alone in New Zealand. So that automatically means connecting with community is a very key, important thing that we need to encourage. So we have events coming up in October as well, and I won't go too far forward, but I will say on the 5th of October will be a First Friday, and that will be a meeting at which we will be electing some new committee members. We've had a few changes recently, and our long-serving secretary and acting treasurer has decided to move across to just focusing on membership, and will remain the membership secretary but hand over those other duties. And so it's important that we have a robust committee. We have people willing and able to take on tasks that they can follow through with, and that they can maintain a good service to members. So we're looking forward to that day where we are cementing in place what we need in the way of an organisational supports and roles and responsibilities so that we can be strong and powerful right into next year, and so we can plan ahead a good calendar for next year. Now, I would like to share with you just some music, just for us to have a relaxing time together, and I've chosen something off one of my favourite albums of The Cause, so I would encourage you just to sit back and perhaps make a cuppa and enjoy this. You might even try some Bollywood moves on your chair as you listen. Welcome back, Malo Alele, and it is Tongan Language Week. I studied a few proverbs in the language, had some difficulty getting my tongue around the words, but they were quite funny, and they were describing people in terms of animals and fish and birds and so on. And I was very entertained. I recommend getting hold of any book of Tongan language. I think you'll find it intriguing. Now, community languages are something that I'm really hot on, because it's important that people maintain their language, and their language is an important part of their well-being and their mental health. It doesn't mean they don't need to be good at English. It just means they need to maintain that ancestral connection, if you like. And to that end, I'm interested to see that there is more development in the public space of sharing te reo, te reo Māori, and AT have moved to incorporate it in announcements on the trains. It's coming in terms of signage of place names in the parks, and I think it's about time, actually, because it's a beautiful language, and I think it's going to add value in enormous ways to us that we haven't even realised yet. So it'll be a watch this space. And rather than actually saying, oh, it's a sad day because we are losing this or we're losing that, I think it's really like there's many spaces that will be dual names, so there'll be opportunities to actually celebrate both languages. And therefore, they won't be translations of each other. They'll just be different names sitting side by side. And I think that's great because it acknowledges the tangata whenua, and it gives an opportunity for people who've grown up speaking the language to feel at home and feel this is one place in the world where the language should flourish. It's one place in the world where the language belongs. So, it doesn't make sense not to have it in the public space. Now, Grey Power, of course, doesn't have a Māori name as an organisation, but we do have some Māori members, and we have members from Asian background, and so there is an effort made to welcome people using different greetings. Also, I believe that at times we have people who have got different needs, and so sometimes when we're advocating, we're not advocating to government or to council as though all seniors are the same. Once you're 65, you're in the same paddock. And I have made this point before, and I'll make it again, that diversity within the senior community, not just ethnic diversity, but diversity, not just gender diversity, but diversity of physical attributes, mobility, diversity in terms of education, diversity in terms of life experience, diversity in terms of whether you've got grandchildren or whether you haven't, diversity of whether you drive a car or whether you rely on public transport. All these diversities make us very different from one another. And so when we get together to discuss a topic or a theme, it is inevitable that we're going to have quite a wide range of different ideas. And the beauty of Grey Power that really hits home to me when I go to a national meeting of the Federation, and that's a gathering of members from all associations, all 75 associations up and down New Zealand. And when that happens once a year in April, if there's a complete unanimous agreement on an issue or a topic off that floor, you can bet your bottom dollar this is a really important thing that people have. This is a nerve that's been touched that really affects seniors up and down the country. And so all sort of party jackets fall off and all labels fall on the floor, and all diversities, gender, ethnic and so on, just melt into the background when you have people speaking with one voice. And housing and the enormous pressures on people trying to maintain a roof over their head, trying to afford it and to have something that fits their needs is the number one issue in New Zealand right now. So we're going to be focusing more on that in the programs to come. Thank you for listening today, and I wish you well in the next week. Keep warm and keep connected with us.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/seniorfocus, and do note